Ship time, and after being apart for almost 3 months, everybody likes to be together again and chatting. It's been so fun to catch up with some of you, and thanks for being with us this morning again here in person or online. Let's go to a time of God's Word now. I'd like to begin this morning with a question. I often like to begin with questions. Have you ever been a show off? Come on. Come on. Have you ever been a show-off? You know, trying to do something solely to get attention, to impress people, probably even maybe to feel a little better about yourself. Have you ever been a show-off? How so? You know, one of the ways I remember, for me, this started at a very early age. I can remember when I was a young child. Some of you heard this story because I love sharing it. I can remember when I was a young child, and I must have been 5, 6 years old. You know, my parents took me to the summer local kind of like recreational pool, and it was maybe like the first time for that summer. And I had probably just recently graduated from removing the water wings, you know, those little floaty things that you had, you know. We're like in the shallow end of the pool, and I'm hanging on the wall near my mom, and I remember watching these kids, you know, it looked like they were playing tag, and I knew how to play tag on the land, but I thought, that's kind of fun, they're playing tag in the pool. And I saw this one kid put his face in the water, move his arms like this, and kick his legs really fast, and he was getting everybody. He was like, you know, he was basically winning the game, and I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. So I remember scooting down the wall away from my mom and putting my face down the water and swimming and kicking, and boom, right into my mom. And she was so excited because she had seen me take my first strokes of freestyle. And I was so excited because I think she called Dad over and I showed Dad. That started for me something that led to eventually joining swim team and starting to win races and getting ribbons and getting my name in the paper and then getting my name on the record board and then getting to high school and being going to a private high school where I knew no one, all of a sudden swimming fast and making friends that way. And then it was a private all-guys high school, so that was a way I would meet girls as I would swim fast. And then I started getting the attention of college coaches. And I had a coach that called me like every week, you know, I want you to come to our university and swim for us. You know, we think you'll be great. And then starting to get some attention in that regard and having some success and swimming on the college level and then having some teammates that made the Olympics. And so it just, swimming for me became something that I could use to show off. How about you? Do you ever show off? There's almost nothing that's off limits when it comes to showing off. It could be a talent or a skill, like I shared for me. It was swimming. It got me attention. It could be an accomplishment in the past or in the present that you've had in your life. It could be a project at work. It could be your relationships, or even, it could even be somebody you know, right? Have you ever done the name dropping? I mean, I just did it a second ago. Did you catch it? I swam with some guys that made some Olympic teams. How about you? You know, this is so common we don't even realize. Now, it's not wrong. It doesn't mean we're always showing off when we say we know someone famous or if we demonstrate a skill, we utilize our gifts and abilities. I'm not saying that it's always that. But it could be anything. It could be your accomplishments. It could be your parenting. It could be your material possessions like your home, your car, your clothes. Or here's a thought. Do you ever show off when it comes to your relationship with God? I know that might sound strange, but think about it for a moment. Do you try to impress others with your spirituality, your knowledge? How about your experiences? How about with what you do, the good works that you might do? Or how about with the way you live? Do you ever show off when it comes to your relationship with God? Jesus actually talks about this topic in the passage that we are going to see this morning in the Sermon on the Mount. And this morning you're going to see what Jesus says about this topic and why, and what it means for you and me. So let's take a look at Matthew chapter 6. We are now in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Verses 1 through 4. Before we read that, please join me in prayer. God, we do ask that you would teach us about this important topic. It's, uh, it's something probably more relevant than we realize. And God, I pray that from today that we'll be open, we'll be evaluated by your Spirit, and our own hearts would do some self-evaluation by your word and by your Spirit to use it in a way that our lives are more and more transformed by your power of your Spirit, love, grace, and truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Matthew 6, verses 1 through 4, I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Okay, so we're still in the Sermon on the Mount. There's Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is the Sermon on the Mount. And we're right in the middle of it now. We're at the beginning of chapter 6. And at the beginning here of chapter 6, it marks a new section. And in this new section, it's headlined by verse 1. And in verse 1, there's a principle that's being stated here. And then what follows from verse 2 down all the way through verse 18 will be three examples related to that principle. And it's kind of interesting because we just finished a section of the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus gave a principle in Matthew 5, 17 through 20, and then he gave us six examples. And now we have a new principle being stated here, and we're going to see three examples. And this morning we're going to look at the first example. What's the principle first? Verse 1. The principle is this: beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. Or to put it another way, don't be a show-off. After stating this principle, Jesus gives three examples and he gives applications related to it. One, the first example that we're going to see this morning is on giving to the needy, which is found in verses 2 through 4. The second, which we'll see actually, next week's Father's Day, so we're going to do a special message, so we'll come back to this 2 weeks from now. We'll see verses 2 through 4. The second, verses 5 through 15. 2 through 4 is what we're going to see this morning on giving. Then verses 5 through 15 is going to be related to prayer. And then finally, the third will be related to fasting in verses 16 through 18. Jesus talks about each of these things, which are basically spiritual disciplines or spiritual practices, which are good practices for us to do. And Jesus is going to get to the heart of the matter behind it, though. He's going to get to kind of our motive behind it. And he's dealing with this issue of your motive. And he's concerned about what your motive. He doesn't want your motive to be to do it for you. It can't be, your motive can't be for me and for my glory. It can't be for getting the pats on the back and the attention of others. It's got to be to the glory of God. So Jesus is going to make this important point. Don't do what you do for the praise of people. Don't do what you do for the praise of people. And notice in each of the three examples, and we'll see each of the three examples in the coming weeks, but you might want to look forward at them. In each of the three examples, he's going to warn of not doing it to be noticed by people. So let's look at this morning's example, the first of the three examples. We're going to isolate our text this morning just in the first example related to giving. Verse 2 says, when you give to the needy, don't sound a trumpet. Do-do-do. I'm not trying to show off. I'm just keeping you with me this morning, making sure everybody's awake. Everybody online, you guys awake? Okay, good. All right. Don't announce it. Don't sound a trumpet. Now, nobody really is going to sound a trumpet. But he's saying it's kind of like when you tell others about what you're doing or kind of do it to impress others. It's as if you're blowing a trumpet and announcing and drawing attention to yourself and what you do to be praised by others. So don't announce it when you give to the needy. And then verse 5 is going to deal with don't when you pray, use it to kind of announce and draw attention to you. And don't when you fast, kind of do it to kind of give this impression like, I'm a superstar Christian. How about you? I'm one of the Avengers, you know, one of them in the Justice League, you know, here's my mask and cape, you know what? We don't want to do this to get the praise of people. Put differently, don't be a show-off. But what about what Jesus said earlier, though? Some of you are thinking, wait, Kev, I've been with us in the Sermon on the Mount. And I seem to recall in verses 13 through 16 of chapter 5, Jesus talked about you don't put a lamp under a peck measure. You don't kind of put it under, hide it. But you let the lamp, you let the light shine before others so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So let's look at that passage. I mean, doesn't Jesus say when he says, let your light shine before others, that we're to put our good deeds on display, that we're to demonstrate our righteousness to others and they're to see it? I mean, how does that fit with what our passage says this morning about doing this in secret? Seems kind of like a contradiction within a few verses. What's going on here? Good question. Glad you asked. All right. Jesus says that we are to shine like a lamp on a lampstand, not a lamp that's hidden. We are to let our light shine before other people, absolutely, that they may see our good works, but glorify our Father in heaven. So what's the deal? Are we to do good works before other people and they see it? Or are we to do good works and kind of hide it? What's the deal? Here's how I think Jesus would answer. He would say that it's the intention. It's the motive behind the righteousness and the good works that you do. He's not making a contradiction here, okay? It's the motive that matters. If the motive is to do it to the glory of God, Jesus is saying, let it shine. But if the motive is to draw attention to you, and you're looking for the number of likes you get on Facebook or Instagram, or you're looking for people patting you on the back and people raving and you know you're the superstar. It's not about you being a rock star in your righteousness for you. It's about being a rock star in your righteousness for Jesus. It's doing it ultimately for an audience of one, namely God. And yes, others can see that, and others are to see it, because that's leadership, that's influence, and God wants that. But that influence is to point people to Jesus. If you leave on a Sunday morning feeling like much was made of Jesus at the stream this morning, then God is doing what I think is consistent with what his will is. But if you leave here going, you know, Pastor Kevin's message was pretty good. It was okay. Somebody sent me a funny tweet a while back, said, the world's okayest pastor. Thanks for that. That was really funny. I liked it a lot. But it can't be about Kevin, or it can't be about whoever's teaching or who's leading worship. It's got to be about God. And the same is true for you in the areas of your life, whatever talent, skill, whatever way God is using you in the world. Beware, Jesus says, verse 1, of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. Why? Because then it's all about you more than it is about God. So Jesus warns, that kind of motive gets you no reward from your Father in heaven. So that's the principle stated up front here, chapter 6, verse 1, that sets the tone and applies to the next three examples in verses 2 through 18. One on giving to the needy, verses 2 through 4, one on prayer, 5 through 15, and then on fasting, 16 through 18. So our text this morning covers this first example on giving, so back to it. Notice verse 2. Jesus doesn't say, if you give to the needy, he says, when you give to the needy. I love that. That little difference right there says a lot. He's not talking about a necessarily optional thing here. He's implying this is something that we should all be doing. He says when. It's kind of understood that this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to help those in need. Now, I'm not suggesting every time you're at a light and there's a homeless person with a sign that you need to unload your wallet or your purse. I'm not necessarily suggesting that. But we need to be aware of the needs in the world. We need to be concerned about the needs of others. And the principle here is when you give to the needy. Giving was something that was expected. And the word that is used here comes from a root word that refers to compassion and mercy. Just as God is compassionate and merciful to us, so are we to be. But we aren't to do this for show. You aren't to blow a trumpet, he says. You're not to announce to other people when you do it. Like, okay, this person's in the car with me, and you know, there's this person at the light here. He's got a sign, and I'm going to pull out a 20 and, you know, slap it in this person's hand that's begging on the side of the road, and just so I can impress the person in my passenger seat. And that's doo-doo-doo. That's blowing a trumpet, right? That's doing it for show. Potentially, could be. It comes down to what your motive is. You know, or imagine, like, it comes time at the offering at church and you're like making some kind of show of it. I mean, can you imagine? Do do do. You know, or worse, like you're telling how much you're giving. You know, one of the things that I like that we do here, it's been a principle for us from day one, is we don't know. I don't know what anybody gives. I don't know the amount. And I know the total offering, but I don't know what gives. I'm not while the offering's going around looking around, you know, I've got my binoculars on to see, you know, I know. Because this is a private personal matter between you and the Lord. We're not to announce it. Jesus says doing it with this motive to be praised by people is what the hypocrites do. John Stott, pastor from England, now with the Lord, points out in his commentary on Matthew that in classical Greek, the word for a hypocrite was originally used of an orator in a show or even an actor. Now think about that for a moment. An actor, someone who is on stage or, you know, in a movie, right? Or actress. And what in theater or in a movie, someone is putting on a role, right? They're playing a part. They're portraying something almost that's not necessarily the actor or actress's true identity. They're displaying one. It's almost like a disguise for show, right? Even if they're not wearing a costume. This is what some of the people were doing with their giving in Jesus' day. They were doing it with the wrong motive, whether it was in the synagogues or in the streets. They were doing it to be praised by others, and Jesus warns that that is doing it to get attention. That's by the attention they get in the moment of doing it, they're getting their reward right there and then in full. Because as he said earlier, they're not going to really be rewarded from God if they're doing it with this kind of wrong motive. Well, one problem that I this is just a personal conviction, so it's not, please, if you disagree with me, I mean no offense, but one thing I'm not a fan of is when charitable organizations send out a list of their donors and make it public. I'm not even necessarily a fan of, like, you know, you can go, this is getting a little personal here, but you can go to certain buildings, like this one even, and there's a list of the people that made contributions, you know, to it. And sometimes, you know, the larger the contribution, maybe the building's even named after the person. So, look, I'm not against a building being named after someone per se. But I'm not the biggest fan of when I get mailings from, like, schools or whatever, like the, some of the schools I've been a part of will actually list by class and year the people who contributed to the campaign to raise money for the school or the organization. And I get what they're doing, and I'm not saying that that's necessarily always wrong, but I'm just saying personally I'm not the biggest fan of it. Because why? I think it can easily feed this idea of doing it to be recognized by others. You know, I literally, like, again, I mentioned I went to a private high school. I've when I get those, I've actually looked and I've seen, like, oh, my classmates, and I've noticed the ones, and sometimes I do it because I haven't seen some of these people in 30 years. I'm kind of curious, like, if I remember their names, but, you know, and anyway, it's just, I'm aware that they're giving. You know, I mean, I don't know the amount, but I'm aware they're giving. So just a personal conviction of mine, you know, is that when people do it in a self-congratulatory way, when they do it in a way that they're getting recognized, that can kind of be something that feeds impressing other people. So to address the problem, Jesus says in verse 3, he's getting back to the motives. He's getting back to addressing the wrong motives that can happen in giving. To address the problem, Jesus says in verse 3, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. What does that mean? It's a metaphor, it seems, to illustrate that we are not to do what we do in our generosity, that we ourselves become overly appreciative of it, that we ourselves become overly self-conscious and proud of it. We're not to do it in a way that we kind of personally take pride in it. You know, then, you know, it's not just about, okay, I don't want to do this to be noticed by others. I don't want to do this to be super noticed by myself. You know? You know, now it's not like, okay, somehow you can completely avoid that. You're going to know the amount you gave, right? But you're not going to overly celebrate and kind of take pride in that and kind of be like, aren't I awesome? You know, you're such an amazing, generous person, Kevin. You know, that's barking up the wrong tree. That's not what God wants here. And that's what Jesus is saying, but don't let your left hand or right hand know what you're doing. Because doing so can so easily lead to pride. Doing so can so easily lead to self-righteousness. Doing so can even lead to a works-based approach to your own significance. I'm important and I feel good about myself because I am such a generous person, you start to think. And you start to not necessarily be so humble and thankful for God's provision that you're able to be generous as much as, aren't I such a righteous rock star? You know, so watch out for that. Listen to this quote from the well-known 19th century scholar and pastor. You've probably heard of him, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, well-known preacher in England. Spurgeon writes this related to the idea of giving to those in need. Let us hide away our charity, yes, hide it even from ourselves. Give so often and so much as a matter of course that you no more take note that you have helped the poor than that you have eaten your regular meals. Do your alms, meaning giving, without even whispering to yourself, how generous I am. Do not thus attempt to reward yourself. Leave the matter with God, who never fails to see, to record, and to reward. This is the bread which, eaten by stealth, is sweeter than the banquets of kings. How can I indulge myself today with this delightful luxury? Later in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus provides a powerful section of teaching on the final judgment when he gives what's often referred to as the parable of the sheep and goats in Matthew chapter 25. You'll notice, maybe you recall that parable, or you'll notice if you read it, that the sheep, meaning the ones that were righteous, the ones who are rewarded at the end of the age, weren't so focused on keeping tabs about their good works and what they had done. They just did it. In fact, when Jesus comes to them, they weren't necessarily even aware. They're like, when, Lord, did we feed you? When were you in prison and we clothed you? When were you, you know, in need and sick and we helped you? You know, they weren't even necessarily aware of what they were doing. They just were about doing it. Well, let's read it. Matthew 25, verses 37 through 40. Read it with me. Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. So they were just about helping those in need. And Jesus is saying that you weren't even letting your left hand or right hand really know. You were just doing it, and you're being rewarded for it now, because in doing it to them, you were doing it to me. It's a cool passage. So the focus was just on serving and glorifying Jesus. It wasn't about their own recognition. It wasn't about them keeping track or tabs about how many righteous things they had done. So back to Matthew 6, Jesus says here that our righteousness, such as our giving, our praying, and our fasting, is to be practiced in a way that it's about serving God and not being praised by people. There's a sense that it's to be done in secret, in the sense of it not being promoted for our own personal praise or our own pride, so that our Father in heaven, who sees all that we do, even what we do in secret, will reward us. Verse 4. We aren't to stop giving. We aren't to stop doing good works. We aren't even necessarily to try to intentionally hide it. That would be overstating what is meant here. Now look, don't take this passage the wrong way, right? As if you need to kind of be like some spy on some top secret mission when it comes time for the offering or time for helping somebody. You know, this is your mission if you choose to accept it. You know, Mission Impossible, and you're like, you know, slipping back without it. Nobody's watching. Hey, cause a distraction over here, and I'll bust for the offering basket. You know, in the offering box, I don't want anybody to see. So, you know, you tell your spouse to, you know, get everybody's attention over there, start talking to everybody, and I'm going to slip back. And no, look, you know, it just don't do it to impress people. Don't blow your trumpet. Just, you know, if somebody sees you drop it in, it's not like because they're looking to see if you do it. If you go back and put something in the offering, or if you help somebody out in public, it's not like you're doing it necessarily. It comes down to what's going on in your heart. That's what it's about. You don't need to hide this and make it some kind of top secret thing. That would be overstating what is going on here. So what is this saying? It's the motive that matters. You're to check your motives. You and I are to check our motives. Examine your heart and be aware of how easily you can have a tendency to do what you do for the praise of people. You know, I'm just gonna divulge some things that I think I have realized in my life over the years. I can just be aware of times in prayer meetings when I prayed something and I thought, that was really good. They probably liked that prayer. That was really good. I can think of times in my counseling office, wow, that was wise, what I just shared. That really helped them. They probably think I'm an amazing counselor. I had times, that was good. Sermon was good. Blowing my trumpet, and we got to watch out for that. You know, I mean, I've had times when I've been asked to be. I don't get this. I'm not like, obviously, as you know, I'm not the guy going away to all these conferences, and you know, I'm not the keynote speaker and things like that. But I have had opportunities to be asked to speak in places, whether it be UNLV or whether it be at the counseling center teaching a class, or I actually have something this coming week I'm doing. With an organization I've been a part of called Worldwide Discipleship Association. I've been a part of it for 25 years. It's going to be a worldwide conference, and I get to lead communion. I'm excited about it. At the end of the conference, I get to lead communion. But as I was preparing, I had to fight a little bit. Like, you know, I'm gonna make this really good, and they're gonna know what a godly man I am. In communion of all things. You know, it's like that's how subtle the sin can be in our heart. And, you know, it's letting the Lord deal with that with me and say, okay, I'm not doing this for any other reason than for the glory of God. And if what I say is helpful and edifying, amen. If it's not, I'm going to be okay. We are to work hard. And we are to do what we do with excellence. We do want what we do to have an impact. We do want it. I want you to leave here impacted by the Word of God. But I want you to be excited about Jesus, not really anything else. Maybe what God's doing in other people, yeah. Maybe the encouraging fellowship, yeah, yeah. All that's great. But it's got to be about Jesus. So what's your motive when it comes to doing righteousness for your glory, your praise, your recognition, or for God and to serve other people. Something else to consider related to this is an even deeper issue. Let's pull back the layers and let's dig a little deeper here. If you're a Christian, remember who you are. Remember who you are. Why is that so important? Here's why I'm saying this, remember who you are. Why is that so important? When I fall into wanting to do righteousness, to be noticed by other people, I think if we really dig deep, if we really pull back the layers, there's an underlying attempt to find some significance in getting some approval from other people, or from even personally feeling proud about it. You and I have a natural tendency to want to impress people. You and I have a natural tendency to want to be liked. We live in a celebrity-crazed culture, by the way, that probably rubs off on us a little bit. We want people to like us. We want people to think highly of us. We want people to love us. We want people to look up to us. We want to feel good about ourselves. And sometimes the underlying issue behind all that is in this search for significance. It's rooted in a false perception that our significance comes from people's opinions, or our significance comes from our performance. But that's a destructive and false perspective when it comes to who you are. Remember who you are. Who are you? You're a child of God. You're a co-heir with Christ. You have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You are a saint. You are chosen and appointed to bear good fruit. You are the righteousness of God. You're a new creation in Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He's put his Spirit upon you, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I could keep going, right? That's who you are. And when you and I are assured of this, when you and I understand our security is in what we have and what Jesus has done for us, we're more confident and at peace with just, you know, stepping up to the plate and whether we hit a sacrifice fly or whether we hit a home run, it's for the team. It's for the glory of God. It's for the body of Christ. It's for God's purposes. You don't really feel like you're as needy to impress people because you already know who you are in Christ. You've already got God. What more do you need? I've got Jesus Christ. I don't need to be a keynote speaker at a conference. I wouldn't mind doing that, but I've got Jesus Christ. I don't need to have as big of a church as the guy down the street. You're a child of God, so you can be content with where God's got you and what he's got you doing at this season of your life. Not to say you can't have desire to serve God in other ways or want to move up in your business, your company, whatever. No, there's nothing wrong with that necessarily. It's just you can want that, but you don't need that because it doesn't change who you are. Your motive's no longer about getting the pats on the back from people. Your motive is serving and giving glory to God with your life. It's hungering and thirsting for righteousness because you've experienced and know that he alone ultimately satisfies. But you don't want to know the greatest reason that you and I are not to be a show-off? It's because Jesus wasn't a show-off. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And Hebrews tells us that for the glory set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He humbled himself. He gave of himself for the glory of God. And Jesus didn't seek to draw attention to himself. But he sacrificed himself, dying and rising for you and me and for our sin, to change our hearts and to give glory to God and to serve you and me by giving us a relationship with God. And so if we turn to him, if we trust him, we really have no need to show off. You don't need to impress other people because God's love for you has already been given to you in the gospel. You already have his love, his praise, and his perfect approval because of Jesus. Remember who you are. Remember what Jesus has done. And beware of practicing your righteousness before other people to be seen by them. Don't let what you do be done for the praise of other people. Let it be for the praise of God. Will you pray with me? God, right now, in the name of Jesus, we come to you knowing that we can boldly come before your throne of grace to find mercy and help in time of need. We invite you, O God, to search our hearts. You know us. Search our hearts, even our motives. And we ask for forgiveness for even our hidden faults, even sins we're not aware of, even the subtleties of personal pride and longings to impress people, longings to be recognized, respected. We don't need that because we have it from you. And that frees us up, Lord, to do what we do for your glory. So help us in all that we do in word or deed to do it for your glory. As it concerns our giving, as it concerns our praying, as it concerns our fasting, as it concerns anything we do in terms of good works. But at the same time, Lord, we pray that the good works that we do, that we would be do it in such a way that it would be our light shining before others so that they would see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven, not glorify us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on a cross and rising from the dead for us. Forgive us and make us more and more conform to the image of your Son, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.